welcome to TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM autograph collector, sponsored by sportscardforum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion. And now, here's our host, Jeff Baker.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 14 of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM autograph collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I am your host for the program. We have a great interview today. This is my first interview of a current professional athlete. We have current Miami Marlins catcher and member of the Israeli Olympic team, Mr. Ryan Lavarnway, joins us to talk about his career, to talk about the Olympics and being cooped up and what he's doing while he is on quarantine with the rest of us. And we talk collecting and TTM and autographs as well. So hopefully you enjoy our interview. It was a pleasure to have Mr. Lavarnway on. He was a former Red Sox draft pick prospect and played with numerous teams, and it was great to talk to get firsthand feedback from someone that gets asked for autographs while he's still playing. So hopefully enjoy our interview with Ryan Lavarnway, which is coming up later in the program. You can find, if you have any comments, questions, concerns about this show or any previous show, or you're actually interested in being a guest on the program, I invite you to send me a quick email at ttmcast@yahoo.com. My podcast is found everywhere podcasts are available, including Alexa. If you have an Alexa device on TuneIn, all you have to do is say, "Alexa, play TTM Cast podcast," and Alexa does the work for you. So you can hear this show and any of our previous shows. I am on Twitter at Cast TTM. I am on Instagram at TTM Cast. I am in many Facebooks, posting on Facebook groups all the time. And as I said, we are on anywhere podcasts are found. In addition, we have a forum on Sports Card Forum. So check out sportscardforum.com and give it a try. And you can talk about our podcast there as well. So we are all over the place on social media. And now on to our first segment, which is always Baker's Dozen. Baker's Dozen is kind of a brain dump of what's been going on the past week in the hobby and in the world in general. My next show will be next Sunday, May 3rd. I have a current Major League Baseball pitching coach who I spoke to the other day. We had a fantastic interview, and I'm sure you'll enjoy that. So next show, which will be next Sunday, May 3rd. I can't believe we're already going to be into May, is a current Major League pitching coach joins us. A couple things happening that I've noticed in terms of collecting and autographs and baseball and pandemic and all the other good stuff. Paul Warfield, who was the wide receiver for the Cleveland Browns and the Miami Dolphins, is no longer signing during the pandemic. So I saw someone had a posting on Instagram, I believe, that he is not signing. So do not send to Paul Warfield. Baseballhappenings.net has a great podcast. They had a nice interview with former Mets and Red Sox manager Bobby Valentine. I recommend you go checking that out. That's at baseballhappenings.net. I see that the National has delayed its decision on whether they're going to hold the show in Atlantic City in the end of July, beginning of August, until May 30th. So we're going to have to wait until May 30th to see if the National is going to be a yay or nay. I'm kind of guessing a nay, because I think logistically getting people there and also dealing with getting all the autograph signers there might be quite difficult. But right now they're saying that May 30th is their time when they're gonna give us an update, so we'll kind of just sit tight. Hopefully they do have it, but my guess is they are gonna not have it. Got a blaster pack of the Topps Heritage 2020 Topps Heritage in the mail yesterday. Bought it from Walmart online. And lo and behold, I got a Bo Bichette autographed rookie card in my blaster box. I've had great luck with my blaster box this year. I've got a couple autographs. I got a couple of the tattoos. So I'm down to about 60 cards for the set. I think I might buy one more blaster box and then kind of fill in the rest of the cards that I need. So that's kind of it for the past week. It's been, we missed sports. We've had the NFL draft. My Patriots were horrible in drafting. I can't believe some of the guys they drafted. So it's going to be a long year for the Patriots with no Tom Brady and no Rob Gronkowski. And hopefully we can get baseball back soon because I truly miss it. And now on to our Vern Rapp Minute. Vern Rapp Minute is dedicated to Mr. Vern Rapp. Kind of it outlines all those people that we have lost or passed away in the past week in the terms of sports and in the world of film and celebrities. So I do this as a service to my fellow TTMers. I had sent, as you would know, I had sent out a request to TTM request to Vern Rapp after he had passed away, and I was really embarrassed by it. So I do this as a service to my fellow TTMers, just to let people know who had passed away so they do not send out TTM requests. So we lost Steve Delkowski. Steve was the inspiration for Nuke LaRouche from the movie Bull Durham. He was a famous pitcher in the Baltimore Orioles organization. He threw really, really fast. Supposedly, he threw faster than Nolan Ryan. And he was in the minor leagues for a bunch of years and actually played a year or two in the majors, but never got his control. Ended up having a tough life, was homeless at one point, and had spent the last 20 or so years in a nursing home. So we lost Mr. Delkowski. We lost Mike Curtis, who was a star linebacker for the Baltimore Colts before they moved to Indianapolis, and he was a signer. He signed with TTMs, and he was a star in his day, and we lost Mr. Mike Curtis. We lost, in the world of baseball, we lost a couple people. This past week, we lost Bob Oliver, who played from 1965 to 75. With the Royals, Angels, Orioles, and Yankees. He kind of had a cup of tea with the Orioles and Yankees near the end of his career. He was primarily Royals and Angels. He was a first baseman, outfielder type, and he played, as I said, he played from 65 to 75 and was featured in numerous top sets. We also lost Mr. Bart Johnson, who was a pitcher for the Chicago White Sox for his entire career from 1969 to 1977, and he recently passed away. We lost another football player. We lost Mr. Milt Sundy, who was a guard for the Minnesota Vikings from 1964 to 1974. And in the world of entertainment, we lost the last surviving cast member of the classic sitcom Green Acres, Mr. Tom Lester, who played Eb, the Douglas's farmhand on Green Acres. He recently passed away. So my condolences to all those family members that lost loved ones. It's sad when people from our youth are no longer with us. So I pass my condolences along to them as well. And lastly, before we get into my interview with Ryan LeBarnway, I had a few returns and a couple trades that I made this past week. So I got I got a couple returns from my 1978 set. I got Stan Banson, who was a pitcher. He pitched for numerous teams, especially the Yankees, the White Sox, the A's, and the Expos. And he signed his 1978 Expo card, and he signed it with his name in blue Sharpie, and also said 1981 East Division champs as a tagline. So that's kind of cool. I got Chris, and that took about, I don't know, a couple weeks. I got Chris Chambliss back from the New York Yankees. This was out for a couple years, maybe a year and a half to almost 2 years, 1978, Chris Chambliss back. And I got Sid Mongey, who was a pitcher for a bunch of teams for the Angels and Padres and Indians on 1978 Tops. So I got Sid Mongey back, sent just a couple weeks to get Sid Mongey back. I got 1992 game day card back. I got Brian Hinkle from the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Brian played a number of years for the Steelers. He was a linebacker. He played on from 1981 to at least 1991. And he was a pretty good player in his day. I do remember Brian. And he signed my game day card. And I don't know, maybe a month. Took about a month to get come back, but happy to add that to the collection. And then I got two cards, two 1978 San Francisco Giant cards in a trade. I got Darryl Thomas and John Curtis, both autographed from my friend Charles Frockia Jr., who was on the show a couple weeks ago. We made a nice trade. I sent him a couple of old Giants cards I had, and he sent me a couple of autographed doubles that he had from 1978. So that's it for returns. I actually sent out, I don't know, maybe six or eight again this week. I'm trying to get to about 10 a week. I've got a bunch of stuff lined up to go out next week. So I see people are signing still. A lot of people getting good returns. So the coronavirus and all is not hurting people, I don't think. It might even be helping a little, or everyone's cooped up in their home. So take the time they have now to maybe organize your cards a little, to get some TTM requests out, and sit back and wait and enjoy the mail. In our last segment today, we have an interview with Mr. Ryan Levanway. Ryan was a big-time prospect coming up in the Red Sox system, and has played with numerous teams. He's currently in the Miami Marlins system. He was in spring training with the Marlins this spring, trying to make a spot and earn a spot on their roster. And he is also a member of the Israeli Olympic team. So we talk about his career, Ryan's career coming up. We talk about his international experience and World Baseball Cup experience. And we also talk collecting and autographs and being asked for autograph requests as an active player. So hopefully you enjoy our interview.
This week's interview is brought to you by SportsCardForum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion.
Joining us on the TTM Cast Hotline, from his home sequestered like the rest of us, he's in Colorado, is current Miami Marlin. He's in the Miami Marlin organization. He's a catcher, and he was previously a draft pick for the Boston Red Sox and played for Yale. Mr. Ryan Levanway, welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it going?
Awesome. You know, we're missing baseball like everyone else, and I'm sure you're chomping at the bit to get back on the field. But, you know, if we can't watch baseball, at least we can talk about it.
That's right, isn't it?
So, I'm a huge Red Sox fan, and I remember you coming up through the Red Sox system, you know, all the way through Pawtucket, and watching you, as your time during your time with the Red Sox. Is there anything that stands out with you as your time with the Red Sox that was really enjoyable?
It was mostly the people there. Everyone was treated everybody, you know, first class with respect. The Red Sox did a great job of making sure the minor league guys have every resource that they could ever need to improve, and also for traveling and trying to make our lives as manageable as possible. But then some of the players I played with were just awesome, and it's been great to see them have success in baseball, but also to kind of keep track of what they're doing now with, you know, Will Middlebrooks, who I played with forever, now doing TV. Anthony Rizzo, who I came up with for a few years, just still a stud on the Cubs.
Yep.
It's been pretty awesome.
Did you see him really turning into the player that he's become? I mean, he kind of floated around kind of like you and kind of found his way with the Cubs. Did you see that, you know, playing as a teammate?
Yeah, I don't think that he floated. I don't know that I would say floated around. I think that maybe he didn't take a direct path, but he's always been a stud.
He got traded a couple times, right?
Yeah, I mean, not everybody can be with one team for all their whole life. I mean,
no,
so Rizzo's a guy, man.
Oh, I know. What a hitter. Now, your forte coming up was hitting. You had a stellar career at Yale. You hold a bunch of records still, right, from your time at Yale?
Yeah, I think a couple of them have gotten broken since then, but still got a few.
Now, you're spending time with the Miami Marlins organization. How did your spring go?
I did not have the best of luck at the dish this spring, but I've been working on a lot of stuff with my defense, and they have a great catching coach there, Eddie Rodriguez, and a great group of players. I'm playing with Francisco Cervelli again, who I had spent some time with in Pittsburgh, and he's painfully likable. Just one of the best dudes. Basically the whole group of guys is just a great group to be around.
Yeah, I mean, they brought in a lot of new players this year, so I think they're expecting to have a pretty good team, or a better team than they had in the past. So it seemed like it'd be a nice place to play.
Yeah, the expectations internally are always going to be a little higher than they are externally, but we like the group of guys we have, both as human beings and as players.
Now, did you get to you were playing with Don Mattingly? Did you have a relationship with him prior to joining the team?
I don't think I ever had the pleasure of meeting him before I played for him this year. But he is definitely—I mean, he was one of a great player in his own right. And if he hadn't got hurt, probably be a Hall of Famer. But he's a player's manager. He understands what it's like to be a player. He understands the daily grind and the expectations you put on yourself, the expectations others put on you. So I think it's pretty awesome to have him at the helm.
Now, growing up in California, did you have a favorite team or somebody that you modeled your game after?
Oh, yeah, Dodgers. I mean, I don't know if I modeled my game after anyone, but if I was cheering for anyone, it was Dodger blue.
Yeah, I'm a New England guy, but I actually was a big Dodger fan growing up. I'm a little older than you, but I was a big Steve Garvey, Ron Say, Davey Lopes, Billy Russell. Those were kind of my guys.
And my guy was Piazza. Oral Hershiser was the man back in the day. And then on other teams, it was Chipper Jones. Ken Griffey Jr. was my era.
Now, did you get to meet some of your idols, in your travels? Because you've been with a bunch of teams. Have you met them in spring training or
at I've met a ton of guys that I watched and that I've always thought were very cool. Of my three favorite players, Ken Griffey, Mike Piazza, and Chipper Jones. Only Chipper have I met, because that's one of the teams I played for was Atlanta, and he's an absolute legend there, obviously.
Yeah, sure. Now you hooked up with Team Israel, and you played with the Team Israel in the World Baseball Classic a few years ago. And you had a pretty good series, that first series with them. They came out of nowhere.
I don't know if it came out of nowhere. I get hot and cold.
Were they?
You just said I was a pretty good prospect with the Red Sox. But no, that tournament was awesome. It was the first time I got to play internationally in a it felt like playoffs, basically. Every pitch mattered. The fans were into it from the first pitch of the game. So it was an unbelievable experience.
Now, you were set to play for Team Israel for the Olympics that had just got canceled, correct?
Yes, I became an Israeli citizen last year, and I am eligible and excited, actually, about the opportunity to play in the Olympics.
Now, what are the plans? Do you think they're going to reschedule for next year? Have they told you anything?
Yeah, I think they publicly announced they're doing it in July next year.
So, or will you take time off from whatever team you're with to go train with Team Israel as the Olympics approach?
That is still up to debate. I'm not sure what's going to happen. I am sure I won't leave whatever team I'm at to train with Team Israel. The question becomes, if I'm in the majors, it's not a question. If I'm in the major leagues and I'm in the major leagues, and I'm not even eligible to play in the Olympics. So that's a no-brainer.
Okay.
But if I'm in AAA, then a decision has to be made of whether I leave my team for a week or two for the Olympic Games themselves, or if I need to stay with my team because I might be getting called up soon or whatever the situation will be. That'll be something that we'll have to discuss next year. I don't even know where I'll be playing or what. I mean, that's a year from now, so the whole situation could be 100 different ways.
Fingers crossed that you'll be playing in a couple of months as opposed to eight or nine months. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, how are you spending your time, sequestered and away from the field?
Well, I've been doing as much baseball activity I can at the house, working out and playing catch in the backyard, sometimes just with a net, taking swings off a tee and off a little wiffle ball machine. Started filming short 10-minute workout videos for catcher's drills that I put on Facebook, and we've had over 3,100 people from around the world to get join our Facebook group, and have catchers sending us, 8-6-year-old catchers from all over the place, 10-year-old catchers sending us videos of them doing our drills, and it's been really fun. And my wife helps me by flipping me balls every day and reading the questions that people type in. So it's been keeping me busy and keeping me active, and it's been really fun.
I've checked out a few of the videos. Why don't you promote that and let people know where they can check it out and if they want to join the group?
Oh, sure. It's just, I think it's called Quarantine Challenge Catcher's Edition or something to that effect on Facebook. It's a picture of me in my Red Sox gear, young Ryan, action shot, in red gear on Facebook. You can find us. It's a public group. It's free videos, and we're just having fun every day, keeping active and trying to stay sane.
Can I ask you a couple of catching-related questions?
Sure.
I was a lefty growing up, so I never got to get behind the plate. But I always liked, playing with friends catching. Is there a pitcher that you've caught before that was kind of like your fastest guy that after catching a game while he pitched you had your glove, or was there there's someone that you saw on the lineup sheet you're like, oh, he really throws hard?
Yeah, well, I had spring training with the Yankees last year, and I didn't end up catching him in the game, but I warmed him up a few times in the bullpen. Aroldis Chapman is probably most people's most obvious answer to who throws the hardest that you've ever caught. But as far as my ties back to the Red Sox in a game, Nick Hagedone, back when he was a prospect, I caught him in Greenville, and I know he popped a 103 up on the stadium scoreboard one time when I was catching. So that's always my answer for fastest pitch I've caught in the game was 103 from Nick Hagedone.
Wow. Now, can you tell the difference as a catcher back there when someone's throwing, 100 or whatever, as opposed to somebody that's throwing the 90s? Is that as a catcher? Can you tell?
It's a subtle difference, but it does get to you just that hundredth of a second faster where you're not quite ready to close your glove in a normal instance, but you better know that it's coming or else you're going to get blasted.
If you get into some typical rhythm that you kind of know that, okay, this guy throws in 90 and this is when it's coming, but this other guy, like Chapman, comes on and he's like, uh-oh, I gotta kind of pay attention a little more because it's going to get on me a little quicker.
Yeah, you gotta make sure you know what's coming.
Now, how about, did you ever catch a knuckleball?
Yeah, I did. I never caught Wakefield in the game, but in warm-ups and bullpens, I caught him during his last season. And then Stephen Wright I caught a bunch of times in AAA and in the big leagues. And I actually tied a major league record for most knuckleballs that got by me in one inning with Stephen Wright.
You're not supposed to talk about that.
Yeah, well, you take the good with the bad.
Is that the most difficult pitch to catch?
100%. Especially Steven. I remember that day. It was his first big league start, and it was his first time throwing in a dome. Houston closed the roof, even though it was a beautiful day, because they know that messes with knuckleballers. And that thing was dancing all over the place.
Now, how about hitting a knuckleballer? Is it easy to hit or catch?
Well, I think I have 3 at-bats off of R.A. Dickey, and I ended up with like a jam shot double over the first baseman's head that maybe wasn't necessarily all skill, but had a little luck involved. So I think my numbers have been better offensively just since it's only 1-for-3.
Still in the box score, it looks like a line drive, right?
Absolutely.
So no, I know you've had a few home runs in your day, and I saw that you actually hit one at Fenway Park. Do you recall that one?
I do. Well, it's my only green monster shot, and they actually it bounced off the first row of monster seats back onto the field, and the umpire called it in play. So I was standing on second base, and I had to wait for them to review it, and then they finally saw it on video and let me finish my home run trot. So was that this, was one.
Was this when the screen was there, or this was when they had the seats up there?
Seats. There were seats bounced off of that, the backdrop of the first row of seats up there.
Did you get the ball?
If I did, I don't have it anymore. I don't remember what I did with that ball. I know my first hit, my first home run, I gave to my parents.
Oh, that's nice.
I remember at the time thinking, I'm going to get plenty more of these, so this ball's not that big a deal.
Well, you still got time. You still got time. Now, I was watching Moneyball the other day, and they were showing Scott Hattieburg. He was a catcher, and he learned how to play first base. And you kind of had a similar arc to your career and played some games at first base. Was that the first time you really played first?
Yeah, I never played first base in my life. Never played any infield position really in my whole life. And then spring, I got a call from John Farrell before the spring training of 2014, I believe. I was in the previews for a movie, and I stepped out of the theater, and he asked if I was willing to learn how to play first base. And I said, of course, I'll do whatever it takes to help the team. And then I got to spring, and I had all my catching drills. And then after catching practice, I got to spend extra time one-on-one with third base coach Brian Butterfield, and he basically taught me how to play first base, starting with this is what a first base glove looks like, all the way to the footwork and all the way through. And I ended up, my first game ever at first base was against the Pirates in spring training at Leecom Park down in Florida. And I remember, what's that big, huge lefty power hitter they had that played first base? He was my first round draft pick.
Don't remember. I'm more of an American guy than a national.
He was, the first batter that comes to the plate with my first time in first place was this giant stud left-handed pole hitter, and I was wetting my pants at how scared I was.
Now, so what's harder in first base? Is it the footwork around the bag, or is it covering, on a pitcher, tossing a toss to first, or is it trying a pickoff play? Is there the one?
For me, the hardest part was not wearing a mask and being afraid a bad hop was going to hop up and hit me in the face.
Now, a catcher, you get to talk to all the guys, and did you like that at first base too? You get to talk to guys while action's not really happening.
And I'm more comfortable with my abilities behind the plate, so I can relax and talk a little bit. But at first base, I'm fully focused and making sure I'm ready for whatever comes next.
No, and you're known for your release, right? You have a really quick release and a pretty good throwing arm down to second, right?
I'd like to think so, yes.
Okay. We were talking before, and that we're a collectible show and collector's show, and people, most of my audience are off ask for autographs either through the mail or in person. Do you get many requests for autographs?
I do. I mean, people send fan mail to the stadium. And I also just signed this is kind of a coincidence. This isn't why I came on the show, but yesterday I just signed a deal to do a private signing with Northwest Ohio Collecticon. So they just made a website, ryanlavarnway.com, that has some options for people to get things signed. I don't know if that's what your audience is into, but it's kind of funny how that lined up the day before this interview.
Yeah, well, what's on the site? Is it cards and balls and pictures and stuff? Or I haven't checked out yet. So
it's much, I believe it's a pre-order system where they have 8x10 photos you can order, or baseballs, bats, cards, whatever you want. And then whatever is pre-ordered is going to be shipped to me, and I will be signing them on video for authenticity purposes. But signing everything that whoever orders, whatever they order, I'll be signing it. And
that's very neat.
I think you can order inscriptions and whatever else you want on there too.
You have a favorite card, a Topps card or a card that you really, really like signing?
I like to sign my one of, I don't know what brand it is, or I remember it was my first big league home run, and I'm on my way to first base, starting my home run trot, and you can see Zach Britton behind me in the background since he was the first home run I hit off of.
Wow, he's a tough guy to get the ball up on, right? He was a real Israel sinker ball guy.
He is a real sinker ball guy, and he learned that the year after I hit that homer off of him.
Well, that's cool. Now, has anyone sent you any kind of weird things through the mail? You know, things that you're like, oh, you never saw before, or anything that's kind of unique?
I don't know necessarily through the mail that I've gotten a lot of unique or weird stuff. But in person, people have asked me to sign. You know, cards are obviously normal. They bring pictures sometimes. I've signed phone cases. I've signed a car a couple times.
That's kind of neat.
Yeah, with the car. The car was one of the weirder ones.
After you had signed this deal with this company, will you still sign through the mail, or does everything have to go through the company?
I still will probably sign some stuff through the mail. The hard part is I never give out my home address, and I think the spring training complexes are turning away mail right now because of the risk of that there could be some sort of disease on it, and they also don't know when we're going to be back. So I think it's just hard to get it to me any other way right now.
Okay. Now, were you a collector as a kid? Did you collect baseball cards or autographs or anything as a youngster?
I had some cards. I wasn't a massive collector, but I did. I do remember the first autograph I ever got was at Dodger Stadium, and it was Craig Counsell when he was on the Dodgers as a player. And when I was playing with the Braves in 2015, I remember the coaches were razzing me or punishing me for something stupid that I said, and they made me take out the lineup card during the game when we were playing against the Brewers in Milwaukee, and I told them, I said, well, Craig Counsell's the other team's manager. He's my first autograph that I ever got, even when I was just a kid. And the manager at the time was Freddy Garcia. He said, you should tell him that. He'll love that. So in the home plate meeting before the game, I went out there and I told Craig Counsell, I said, hey, man, you were the first autograph I ever got. I really appreciate it. Like, I was just a kid, and you were so nice. And I remember Craig Counsell giving me crap, too, and razzing me. He's like, come on, man, you're making me feel old. You're saying you were just a kid, and I was already in the big leagues. And now you're in the big leagues, then I must be old. So
that's funny.
I was getting razzed from all sides on that day.
You couldn't win, but still, that must have been kind of neat.
Yeah, it was kind of a full circle moment.
Now, you know, you've played with numerous teams. Do you have uniforms from all the teams you played with?
Yeah, I try to keep at least one of my own uniforms from every team. And along the way, I've tried to, for most of the teams, tried to figure out who's my favorite or who's the most famous of the players that played for this team. And I ordered one of their jerseys, one of their retro jerseys, and tried to get them to sign it.
Oh, that's very good.
So when I was with Oakland, I got a Ricky Henderson. When I was with Atlanta, I got Hank Aaron to sign a jersey. When I was with Baltimore, I got Cal to sign the jersey. So it's been pretty cool. And if I ever end up getting them framed, I'm going to have a cool collection. But right now, they're just sitting and folded up in a duffel bag in my house.
Oh, don't do that. Get them framed. I put those things up. You have a man cave set up yet? Or
No, that's the reason I don't have them up yet, is because I don't have anywhere to put them.
Okay.
But now, maybe in our next house, I'll have a space for it.
Now, I know your wife is a foodie and she's a chef, correct?
Yes.
How are you staying? You know, you got to stay fit, because I'm sure you're eating a lot with being at home.
Yeah, well, there's a Peloton at the house, which is very helpful.
Oh, cool.
So I work out plenty to make up for the food, but actually my wife and her sister just started a new food blog that they're really excited about. Called Tuck and Tate. It's named after our two dogs, Tuck and Potato. And I know they started doing a giveaway today for smoothies. If people wanted to check out their blog on Instagram, it's just at Tuck and Tate.
At Tuck and Tate. So guys, if you're love food like the rest of us, and I've seen some of the recipes, go check it out. At Tuck and Tate is on Instagram, and I believe they're on Twitter as well, right?
Yeah, they're using most of the social media stuff. I'm not so good at the social, but they have their website, buytuckandtate.com, that you can subscribe to emails if you want to get the recipes, or if you just want to look at the beautiful pictures of the food that they take, see what we're eating at our house, see what I'm shoving in my face. Most of the time, it's really, really good, and they've gotten really good at taking photos of it too. So it's kind of like food porn on Instagram every day if you're into it.
Yeah, my wife has a site called Mom's Food and Fun, and that's every time we sit down and eat, she takes pictures. So she's a cook like your wife. So I'm with you on that one.
Now, yeah.
Is there anything you really enjoy, like one of your favorites that she makes for you?
Well, the thing about doing the blog and trying to provide new content is they try not to make the same thing twice because they always got to make new meals and new recipes to put on there. So we love Asian cuisine. So that's kind of the genre I like best. But we always are trying new stuff so that she always has new content to put on there.
That's cool. Now, one other question, and then I'll let you go. I appreciate your time. We're talking with Ryan LaVarnway, who is currently in the Miami Marlins organization. He was in spring training with the Marlins, and he is a member of Team Israel. He was a draft pick for the Boston Red Sox, and I was a huge fan of yours when you were playing for the Red Sox, and kind of lost touch with you because you've been kind of in some of the National League parks, which I don't follow as much, but it's great to catch up with you. Do you ever go on like eBay or search, put your name in and see what your memorabilia is going for, your cards are going for, or anything like that?
No, I don't make a habit of searching for that. And early in my career, I feel like all players go through a kind of bell curve where first when you get drafted, you're really excited that someone wants your autograph. You can't believe that you're the guy that's signing and not the guy asking for the signature. And then you get to a point where you're pissed off that other people are asking for your autograph and then selling it, and they're making money off of you, and it bugs you a little bit. And then you get to a point where you stop looking at that. You figure most of the people that ask for autographs want it for themselves, and they just really enjoy it. And it's the kind of a keepsake of a moment where you got to meet and spend time with somebody. And then towards the end, you're pumped that people still want your autograph. And it kind of comes full circle with the bell curve. And I'm definitely in the latter two phases where I understand that most people that want autographs, it's really for their own personal collection. Nobody's malicious. Nobody is maliciously trying to make money off anybody. And it takes a while to understand that. And you have to kind of grow up and get over yourself a little bit.
Yep.
And I'm just really, really pumped and honored that people want my signature. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think you have a great attitude about it. Most of the people that I deal with really enjoy the autograph, and it kind of gives you that one little connection with somebody that you're a fan of, or enjoy what they're doing. So, I appreciate your time today. I kept you a little longer than I anticipated, and I apologize for that. Is there anything else you want to promote or talk about that we didn't cover today?
No, I just know that if my wife gets new followers on her Instagram or blog about this, I know I'll get a lot of brownie points at home. So check out Tuck and Tate on Instagram.
All right, check out Tuck and Tate on Instagram. Ryan, I wish you best of luck this year. Hopefully, you get back on the field, and hopefully you get to play in the Olympics. I know maybe it'll be bittersweet because you won't be in the major leagues by then when it happens. But I'm sure it'll be great to play in the Olympics and play for Israel. So you've got a lot of stuff to look forward to.
Yeah, I certainly do. Thank you so much for having me on here.
All right. Nice meeting you. Thank you.
All right, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Well, that wraps up another edition of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I've been your host for the program. If you have any feedback, any comments, any questions about this episode or any episode, please send me an email at ttmcast@yahoo.com. If you're interested in being a guest on a future episode, let me know. I'm actually booking right now into the mid-May. I've got a couple of interviews in the can, so to speak, and I'm booking into mid-May. So if you're a collector or know anyone that might be a good guest on a future program, send me a quick email at ttmcast@yahoo.com, and I'm sure we can get you on the program. I want to thank Mr. Ryan LeBronway for joining us today. It was great to learn more about his career and get some feedback on dealing with autograph requests from a current player. So that was kind of neat. I recommend you checking out his site, ryanlebronway.com. And I think if you want to get something autographed by him, just send him a quick email, and I'm sure he can help you out with that as well. So once again, I want to thank you for spending your time with me today. And as always, wishing you many happy returns. Have a great week.